Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Aaron, and I'm one of the pastors here. And if my mic is, I can move it a little closer if it's a little too. We good? Okay, perfect. So a little bit about me. When I was younger, I'm talking like really young, I used to be one of those kids who I didn't want to do anything. You know, if it wasn't my idea, I didn't want to do it. And I never really had any ideas because I was just a kid. And so my parents would be like, hey, Aaron, you want to go and do this? And I'd be like, no. Like, I don't want to do that. And I never wanted to do anything. But they would make me go, and then every time, not just sometimes, every time, after a few minutes of being wherever it was that we were, I would have forgotten that I didn't want to be there, and I would have a great time. I was even so weird that I would even, like, think of it, like, on the way to, and I'm like, I'm not going to have fun. I'm going to intentionally not have fun because I'll show my parents for making me. And then I would always forget, and I would always end up having a fun time. Out of curiosity, how many others are this way as well, or were that way when they were younger, or have kids who were that way? Okay, good. All right, so I'm not alone in this. All right, so, but my parents knew what was best for me, and they knew that I would enjoy these things, and so they would force me, and they would make me go to these things, and I'd have a great time. But unfortunately, that didn't go away when I got older. In fact, it got worse, because, you know, when you graduate high school, and really when you finish, like, if you don't go to college, then that's it. But if you finish college, like, you kind of get this, well, now I'm the man, you know, and now nobody tells me what I'm going to do, you know, unless you get a job, or you get married, or you have kids, or you're a Christian, and then all of those people get to tell you what to do all the time. And so, but what I want to talk about is the things that are the choices that we actually get to make, because other people can make choices for us, but what about the choices that we make for ourselves? Because going back to my parents, they knew my behaviors, my tendency to only want to do what I want to do, but they also knew that I would enjoy these things, and so they would force me to do that. Now, God doesn't do that for us, but God knows what's best for us, and God wants us to do the things that, you know, are written in the Bible, and that's why they're written. And so he knows that we'll enjoy it and that we'll find true joy, and that's only possible because that true joy is found in our belief, our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the problem that I have faced in my life is that, you know, I know Jesus, I want to be like Jesus, but I just keep messing up. I keep doing these things that I don't want to do. I keep finding myself, I keep sinning. That's just what I keep doing. I keep messing up. And I know that I'm not alone in this because there's a literal Bible verse that talks specifically about this situation. So by a guy by the name of Paul. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. And in one of his writings, Paul wrote, "I don't understand the things that I do, because I don't do the things that I want to do. Instead, I do the things that I hate, but I don't want to do those things. Instead, sin has power in my life. It's sin that causes me to do wrong. Every part of me fights against what my mind tells me to do. Sin has power over my body so that I'm like a prisoner. I need someone to set me free from the power that sin has over my body. I thank God that he has set me free because of what Jesus Christ has done. If you belong to Jesus, then God's Spirit has given you a new life. His Spirit now rules in your life, and he has made you free. Sin and death no longer have power over you." So Paul's letter kind of reminds me of this scene from The Office. And so maybe let's pretend that this scene is talking about, it's me talking to myself, or maybe it's you talking to yourself, but it's definitely Paul talking to himself.
"Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be."
I love The Office. It's a show that I could watch all the time, but on repeat. But that's kind of what Paul was saying. Like, why am I the way that I am? Why do I continue to do these things that I hate doing? Why do I do that? And so it's because sin still has power over my life. But I am allowing sin to have that power because I've been set free. So what do I do? How do I take my life back? How do I break this cycle? How do I give my life fully to Jesus? Because that's what we should be doing. We should be giving our lives fully over to Jesus. Well, Paul said, I thank God that he has made me free because of what Jesus Christ has done. If you belong to Jesus, then God's Spirit has given you a new life. So if you believe in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, you are no longer a slave to sin. You do not have to continue doing those things that you once did before you knew Jesus. But the problem is since sin is so addictive, since it's just so natural for us to do, and it feels good in the moment, what happens is we take our eyes off of Jesus, and just even in doing that for just a brief moment, the next thing you know, you find yourself right back where you were before, because sin starts to look more and more attractive. And so you find yourself right back to where you were when you said, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm so sorry, God. You know, I'm not going to do this. And you're like, I'm an idiot. Like, how did I get right back in the same spot? And so this is the thing. I call this the cycle of sin. I call that the cycle of sin. So if you are anything like me, and you struggle with this, then there are three things that we need to talk about today, three ways, things that we can be doing to break the cycle of sin. And so those three things are, if you're taking notes, they are to surrender yourself daily, guard against sin and temptation, and live a life of love and service. Let's start with the first one. Surrender yourself daily. In order to do this, it means that we need to give up the things that we want so that we can go after the things that God wants. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, any of you who want to be my follower must stop thinking about yourself and what you want, and you must be willing to carry the cross that is given to you every day to follow me. So that desire that I talked about at the beginning to only want to do what I want to do, that has to be let go. That has to be surrendered to God so that I can truly follow Jesus. And that's tough. It is tough to let go of the things that we like. That's why we like those things. But we were made for more than just the things that we like. Just like my parents knew what was best for me, God knows what's best for us, and it's more than just the things that we like. One of the songs that we just sang, the lyrics in that song are, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. We have been called by name to follow Jesus and to leave our old life behind. And that means that we need to surrender our lives to Jesus every day, every morning. It means that we need to check our desires every day to make sure that they align with Jesus. Now, back in the day when I was really little, and it's made a comeback even now, they used to have these bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's essentially what we're saying. We're saying that every day we're checking ourselves to make sure that, hey, is this what Jesus would want us to do? But I don't want us to miss this part. Daily surrender has to include our hearts. It's not just a box that you can check. It has to be a heart thing because Jesus wants our heart. And giving your heart to Jesus involves having a real relationship with him and allowing him to change you from the inside out. We call that the work of the Holy Spirit. You accept Jesus, he comes into your life, and then the Holy Spirit starts to impress on you to make these changes and to be more like Jesus. And so we call that the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to break the cycle, surrendering yourself daily is a choice to trust Jesus. Trust that he is who he says he is, that he's the Son of God. Follow the teachings of the Bible and to change your reactions and your love for others. It does not mean that you're going to be perfect. In nowhere in this process does that mean that you're going to be perfect. It does mean, however, that we are making a daily effort to be more and more like Jesus every day. We should be always on the move, getting closer to Jesus. So to break the cycle of sin, one of the first things that we need to do is surrender ourselves daily to Jesus. But that's just the first one. The second one is to guard against sin and temptation. After we believe in Jesus and we give him our hearts, the next step should be to avoid places, influences, or habits that would pull us away, pull our hearts away from God. Studies have proven that 66% of all prisoners are arrested again within 3 years. That is two-thirds. That's two out of three. And then 82% are arrested again within 10. And 8 out of 10 youth offenders are arrested again within 5 years. Now, not everybody who has been arrested or in jail and prison has been arrested for the same reasons. I'm aware of that. However, the overwhelming majority of the people that are arrested again didn't change anything after they got out of prison. They went back to the same old, same old. They hung out with the same people in the same places, doing the same things, and then it just leads to this repeated cycle. The difference is we don't have to do that. We don't have to go back to our old life. In fact, we shouldn't go back to our old life. We've been given brand new life, so we should come out of that lifestyle. We should change the places that we go, the shows that we watch, the music that we listen to, the words that we say. We should live our lives in a way that honors God and reflects a heart that's in pursuit of Jesus. I'll say that again. We should live our lives in a way that honors God and reflects a heart that's in pursuit of Jesus. And here's the thing, it's impossible to avoid temptation completely. There is no way to completely avoid it. But what we can do is prevent ourselves from being foolish. If you know, and you do know, if I do this, it's going to lead to me being tempted. Don't even mess with it. Don't even like play around with it. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:22, run away from temptation and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So guarding against sin and temptation is important, but it's also a daily thing. There's no days off. We can't take a break from it because in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, control yourselves and be careful. The devil goes around like a lion looking for someone to attack and kill. So there can be no days off when it comes to guarding ourselves from sin and temptation, because the devil doesn't take a day off. And the moment you do try to take a day off, that's when he gets you. And you probably know that because you've probably experienced that. But thankfully, we don't have to do this alone. That's why the church exists with a capital C. That's why the church exists. We have other Christians to help us on this journey to break the cycle of sin, which leads us to number three. Live a life of love and service. Loving God and loving others should be at the center of every Christian's core. Loving God and loving others. And it's in the Bible several times. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But please don't miss this one part. Part of loving God means that you love other people. Literally, there's a passage in the Bible that says you cannot claim that you love God if you hate others. We have to love God's creation, the creation that he specifically made in his own image. If we love God, then we need to love other people. Jesus said in John 13:35, all people will know that you're my followers by how you love one another. And in other words, we should be quick to forgive and to show mercy because God has forgiven us and he's shown us more mercy than we could ever deserve or imagine. And so that's the love part. That's what we mean when we say to live a life of love. But what about the service part? What does it mean to live a life of love and service? Well, Paul says in Galatians 5:13, brothers and sisters, God chose you to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful selves. Instead, serve each other with love. We refer to this as having a servant's heart. And what that means is that we put others above or before ourselves. And we do that because we do that out of love for Jesus and because that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, that he came to serve others and to give his life to save many people. Paul said in Philippians 2:3, to consider others better than yourselves. A person with a servant's heart will look for ways to encourage and help others even when it's inconvenient, unnoticed, or hard. Let me say that again. A person with a servant's heart will look for ways to encourage or help others even when it's inconvenient, unnoticed, or hard. We just went on a mission trip 2 weeks ago to Denver, and in that mission trip, we had about 2 days of that mission trip were actual service days, so that Tuesday and Wednesday, and this was a Wednesday, and so we had done some service. We had to get up really early. We had to get up at 7 a.m. It was awful, and you guys aren't laughing. You're supposed to laugh at that, but we got up early for us, and we could not come back. It was just part of the deal. We couldn't come back to the church that we were staying at to sleep and shower and stuff. We couldn't go back until 8 p.m. Not that we were serving that whole time, but nonetheless, we were pretty tired. So when we come back, it's dark outside. Not only that, it's pouring down rain, and we're tired, and we all go in the building. And in fact, it was raining so hard that the church was starting to like get water that was like seeping in through like the stairwell and in the bottom of the door at the in their basement, and it was bad. And everybody's ready to shower, though. We're all ready to go and like, hey, we want to just relax. And the dirtiest person was also the very last person to shower. And the dirtiest person was Darren. And Darren was also the dirtiest and the last person to shower because when the rest of us went into the building and, you know, we were just going to relax for the night, Darren, not asked by anybody, just looking to serve, Darren was out there in like knee deep in standing water, scooping with his bare hand to try to clean out their drains and their gutters so that they wouldn't have water damage to their building. And when I was like looking around, I'm like, where's Darren? And then we realized, oh, Darren's outside. And I was like, I felt a lot of guilt. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, it didn't even come in my mind. But Darren has got the idea of what it means to have a servant's heart. There's a thing that Darren says. I just want to know if any of you guys realize like the impact that he makes. He has a saying, and I just want to see if you guys know what it is. He says that we, anyone know? What is it? We get to. Yep, there it is. He says that we get to, and this is a whole thing to change your mindset into what you're doing, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about we are changing our minds from a how does that help me, you know, to how can I help you? That is a person with a servant's heart. A person with a servant's heart serves willingly and joyfully because they know that they're doing it for Jesus. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for Jesus. If you want to break the cycle of sin, you got to serve. You have to be a servant. And you can look for ways that you can serve in your community or in your church, but it needs to be a daily thing. Loving God and loving others is a daily thing. So really all three things are connected. They're all kind of interwoven together. But just to make sure that we got everything, we're going to do a quick recap. Starting with the first one, to break the cycle of sin, if we want to break it, we need to surrender ourselves daily to Jesus because surrendering ourselves daily is a choice to trust Jesus, that he is who he says he is, to follow the teachings of the Bible, and to allow, to let the Holy Spirit change our reactions and our love for others. We also need to guard against sin and temptation because we should live our lives in a way that honors God and that reflects a heart that's in pursuit of Jesus. And lastly, We need to live a life of love and service, because a person with a servant's heart will look for ways to encourage and help others, even when it's inconvenient, unnoticed, or hard. I'll close with this. If you've never believed in Jesus, or maybe you've believed in Jesus, but you feel like you've wandered really far away from him, or maybe you're in this cycle that we've talked about, and you feel like, I just keep telling him I'm not going to do this, and then I keep doing it again. I want you to hear this. Jesus wants you. All of that stuff doesn't matter. Jesus wants you right now. And maybe this is your sign to take that next step in your journey with him. Or maybe it's your sign to take your first step in your journey with him. But no matter what it is, take a next step in your journey with him. Get closer to Jesus. We don't want you to go back to your old ways. We want you to go into this new life with excitement. There's no reason to go back to your old life. Jesus doesn't want you to go back to your old life. We've been given new life. You are free. You are no longer a slave to sin. Don't choose sin anymore. We want to help you break the cycle of sin. And we don't have to do this alone. That's why the church exists. It exists to encourage and equip each other so that we can all go in the same direction, and that is closer to Jesus. So if you are not already, we recommend that everyone join a life group. We do this because life groups are little groups that meet that are for private settings, so you can share the good, the bad, the ugly, all of the things that are happening in your life, and you can do so without a fear of being judged. This is a place for you to share with what's going on in your life, and we believe that life groups can help you surrender yourself daily and to guard against sin and temptation. So if you are not already in a life group, you can pull out your phone, you can scan the QR code directly below the words life groups and get signed up, because we want to help you break the cycle of sin that has a hold on your life. The next thing that we recommend is that everyone go through Claim Class. And we recommend that everyone go through Claim Class because it can help you understand your identity, your mission, and your giftings. It is a 3-week class that you only go through one time. You only have to take it once. But we believe that it will help you surrender yourself daily and to equip you to live a life of love and service. So if you have not gone through Claim Class, we recommend everybody does. You can pull out your phone, scan the QR code below the word Claim Class, and get signed up, because we want to help you break the cycle of sin. And lastly, serve. We want to send you out to serve like Jesus. And there are lots of different areas that you can serve in. It does not have to be limited to the church. You can do it in your community. But there is a popular saying about serving, and that is, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. So to break the cycle of sin, we recommend that everybody start serving. Everybody get involved in serving. So if you're not, you can pull out your phone, scan the QR code below the word serve, and get signed up. All of this is to help break the cycle of sin. If we want to break the cycle of sin, we have to surrender ourselves daily, guard against sin and temptation, and live a life of love and service. And to help you do that, we recommend that everyone be involved in a life group, everyone go through Claim Class, and that everyone start serving. Let's do it. Let's finally break the cycle of sin. Let's take next steps and be closer to Jesus. And let's do it together, because that's what we were made for. We were made for community. We were made to do this with each other. So let's do it together. This is not a pressure thing, but my encouragement to you would be to take that next step. Walk closer to Jesus. Bless you. Would you pray with me? And then everybody, let's stand and let's worship one last time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for the love and forgiveness that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take these next steps so that we can break this cycle that sin has over our lives. Let us not go back to the old ways of living. But Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us, inspire us to take next steps, to join in new life with you. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.